A member of the far-right Oath Keepers militia group becomes the first defendant to plead guilty to federal charges in connection with the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. Meanwhile, back at the Capitol itself, about 100 days after the attack, people are still experiencing fear and shock from January 6th. They range from the most powerful lawmakers to those who prepare and serve food at the Capitol.
Nancy! Oh, Nancy!
They destroyed things here, broke windows, you know, a mess, but things don't matter to me. But seeing the traumatic effect it had on my staff is something that will linger with me forever and for which I will never forgive them.
And that is House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Also, Maryland Democratic Congressman Jamie Raskin saying he hopes people will remember the fragility of democracy. Dimitri talked to NBC News producer and reporter Frank Thorpe, who covers the Senate, about his new report called After the Riot that features interviews with those who work on the Hill, along with the very moving black and white photos he took.
This is something that people who experienced January 6th are still processing. People who were here for the insurrection, for the attack on the Capitol, are still very much reminded of those days, either because they have been walking through the hallways every day and they see places that remind them of that day, or they hear noises that remind them of the things that they heard that day. And they're still trying to process how to move forward. I mean, this is a day that the people that were in the building and the people that experienced that attack will never forget. And it's been really interesting to talk to the people that participated in this piece to try to figure out not only what moments specifically stick with them and what emotions stick with them, but how they're trying to move forward through the trauma.
A lot has been made of the lawmakers, first of all, running from the rioters with their security teams and then huddling in various corners to hide. But let's not forget about somebody like Dion Montague, who works in the Capitol cafeteria. What is his story?
One of the things that I really wanted to focus on in this piece is the fact that it's not just these well-known lawmakers that were affected in that day. Dion Montague is a food services worker who works in the cafeteria in the basement in the Capitol. He's known as the coffee guy, the guy who brings the coffee jugs around to cafeterias and to different events for lawmakers in the Capitol. He actually was in the cafeteria when this all happened. He ran across the hallway to a locker room across the hallway, and they locked the door, and he took a coat rack and a coat post, and he jammed it up against the door. He's shared with me this picture that he has of him on January 6th trying to barricade the door with this coat rack. And it's just an example of the fact that, like I said, like, it wasn't just lawmakers who were affected. It wasn't just aides that were affected. It was the staff, the people that make the building continue to run on a day-to-day basis, the food services, the people that, you know, do the cleaning and make sure that the building is running the way that it is. They experienced this in a really intense way, too. They had to hunker down. They had to hide, and they didn't know what was going on. They had no idea. And it's still affecting Dion. I mean, Dion told me, this is something that I still keep a vigilant eye out now. I keep an eye out all the time. It's something that he feels like he's moving forward, but he's not completely over.
People are still very jumpy, I would imagine.
There are certain moments from that day. It's like flashbacks. A lot of people, when they hear, yelling in the hallways, or they hear banging on doors, it reminds them of that day. There was an aide that I spoke to, Sarah Guerrero. She was in the chamber and heard, the banging on the doors in the chamber. And she was saying that there are sometimes she'll watch movies with intense scenes and it'll just bring her back to that moment. And so I think that a lot of people who experienced it, including myself, who is here in the building when it happened, there are certain things that will bring you back to that moment, whether it's a sound or, a smell or just a specific place in the building. And that's going to linger for a long time. And it's something that I think everybody who is here for that event is still processing.
The House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, she seemed to be in her remarks extremely defiant. She said they didn't win.
She made a point to say that what angered her the most was not necessarily the damage to the building, the broken windows, the invasion of her office, which was so heavily documented and seen in the news and in the hours after the attack, but it was the effects that it had had on her staff and the fact that she felt like she was upset that it might deter some of these staff from, having long careers in public service and might want to make them decide to say, move into a private sector job away from congressional service because they were worried that they were, going to be a target in the Capitol. But I mean, she did. Speaker Pelosi, she did have a defiant tone. She made a point to say that they failed and that they came back and that Congress came back. As we remember that night, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, they finished the job. They cleared the building and they all returned with the glass still shattered on the ground, with the flags from some of the rioters still laying in the hallways. And they came back and they finished the job of certifying the election. And that's something that I think that she takes a lot of pride in.
Republican Senator Mitt Romney, speaking of shattered glass and damage, suggested that some of that be preserved. For example, the rioters were trying to break some very thick glass and they didn't succeed. But what was left was this spiral cracking pattern in the glass. Why did he say that that should be preserved and perhaps displayed somewhere?
Yeah, so Senator Romney has been a huge advocate for the idea of preserving some of the damage in the building and leaving it where it is so that members, not only current members of Congress, but future members of Congress, remember what the effects of this insurrection were and what led to it, as just kind of a reminder of what can happen in these moments of history, in these moments of division. That window that you mentioned with the broken glass, the architect of the Capitol is working on a way to preserve that. They have taken it down. And so it's going to be preserved in some way. But Senator Romney and others, there are other lawmakers as well, feel very passionate about not just papering over the damage from that day, but leaving some of it there so that not only lawmakers, but once the public is allowed to return to the Capitol, they're able to see and witness some of the damage, because this is a piece of history that they don't want to be forgotten. They want to move forward and they want to learn from it. They don't want to just paper over it.
Just because we're speaking on the radio, Frank, doesn't mean that we can't discuss something that's visual. And that's the amazing pictures that you've taken of all of these people, from the powerful lawmakers to the everyday employees in the building, the communications aides and so forth. Why did you choose a black and white, first of all, for all of these photos? And then I understand that you're using some lenses and other things that go back several decades.
I have a particular passion for photography and in film photography and specifically. And so all of these pictures were taken with a 1950s large format film camera with black and white film. I think that the black and white kind of reduces everything to its essence. It gives it a level of intensity that I feel like this story deserves. I think that it kind of, you know, it cuts away, you know, color photography obviously has a place in the world and coverage and specifically news coverage. But for this project, I really thought that the portraits lended themselves to reducing it all to a black and white format. And so it is with the 1950s large format camera. It's the kind of camera that you would see, you know, in the old days, the old press photographers, you know, with their press hats, with those big flashes taking pictures with. And the lens is actually, it's a World War II aerial reconnaissance lens that it just takes some really great historic looking photos. I mean, it gives it a little bit of a more, what I'd like to describe as like a historic soul. I feel like this event was historic. It deserves to have the treatment of photos that have that quality to them. And I think that what this medium and this format has done is lended itself to that.
That is so true. Just scrolling through the photos as you were describing them there, I can't emphasize how moving it is and how we want everybody to go to WTOP.com, search Capitol to link to your piece. What is a final thought that you'd leave us with?
What I think this piece is kind of doing is making sure that people remember this event was a really significant event in our American history, and that it's still really significant for the people that experienced it. If you were in the building, or even if you lived across the country and were watching it on television. And as time goes, I think that, you know, I want people to, you know, continue to remember that and remember how significant this was, not only for the people in the building, but for the country. And I hope that these pictures help make the memory of that day live on in a positive way.